think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Notre Dame, with a historic tradition of excellence, welcomes you to the Jack Swarbrick Show, where we pursue all things Notre Dame athletics.
The Jack Swarbrick Show is brought to you by
Team Notre Dame partner Spirit, Coke Zero, Under Armour, Gatorade, and is also sponsored by Xfinity. Now, the host of the Jack Swarbrick Show, Jack Nolan, on your home for Notre Dame football, 89 WLS.
Welcome, Irish fans, to this week's edition of the Joe Schmidt and Jack Swarbrick Show. On today's show, we'll talk with Hall of Fame women's basketball coach Muffet McGraw and senior women's basketball guard Hannah Huffman. Now, here are your hosts for this special Halloween edition of the Schmidt-Swarbrick Show, Notre Dame captain and starting linebacker Joe Schmidt and Notre Dame vice president and director of athletics Jack Swarbrick. But the question is who?
Yes, indeed. Welcome to the Halloween edition of our show. So as I contemplated what costume I'd wear, I decided I wanted to be the scariest thing I possibly could. And for the Notre Dame fandom, the notion of seeing someone else in this jersey is a pretty scary proposition. So here I am. Modeling Joe Schmidt, and you're tie-less, but you're trying.
I'm trying
your best.
I did my best. It was on short notice, and I figured this was my best business casual I could do. Unfortunately, I don't have the tie. I know, but are we going to get you out of practice this Thursday? It's perfect practice Thursday.
Yeah. Come back. Well, that's why you won't. It's perfect practice Thursday.
I don't know, man. You're looking pretty good in that.
You know, I figure it'd be really hard on Nick and Quentin, and Steve if they had to try and deal with me. So.
No, they can't help you. The good news is there's no pads hopefully today, so they might stand a chance if you're using more hands.
Yeah, exactly. It's violent hands.
Feet game.
That's exactly. And thanks for doing the beard.
I sold out for this costume. I really did everything I could to become Jack Swarbrick. I've been thinking all morning, meditating about what
we could have shaved your head.
That's what I should have done. I don't know. I don't have the glasses either. So
yeah. Well, it's been an interesting 2 weeks since we last visited. You know, normally during bye week we do this show. They said if Joe can't do the show, we're just doing a best of. Forget it. So I'm glad to have the opportunity to be back on the air. So we got 2 weeks to cover here, and it starts with a pretty fun football game in a great atmosphere. Take us back to that.
Oh my! It's going to be one of those memories that stays with me for the rest of my life. Beating USC in front of Notre Dame Stadium. It's one of my last times. I've only got one more time now at Notre Dame Stadium. And I'm now 3-0 in games I've played against USC in. So it was so sweet, especially growing up in Southern Cal, and knowing the rivalry in that way. And now from this perspective, it's funny. I almost have like nothing to say about it. It's such a fond moment for me.
You know, they went through some turmoil leading up to the game, but. Came out with guns blazing, had a great first drive, and I thought a really critical moment of the game was the way we responded to that first play. Deshaun DeWill really sort of set the tone that hey, we're ready.
Well, what I loved is that Adoree Jackson, the guy that had thrown it, that Will had gone against on that play, had been saying all week that he was going to, you know, lock up Will Fuller, which I thought was, you know, so funny that, you know, we try to stay out of the media as much as possible, usually. But in this instance, we had seen that one, and I thought it was appropriate that that was the first play call, and that ended up being the result. So it was – we knew it was going to be a heavyweight fight from the beginning, and they were going to get some plays, and we were going to get some plays, and fortunately for us, we ended up making one or two more than they did on that Saturday night.
Well, and especially and Coach said that at halftime, you know, this is going to be that sort of game, but in the second half, some great defensive plays really made the difference because both teams were moving the ball very effectively, but. Several big defensive plays.
Yeah, you know, individual guys stepped up, in great ways. I mean, Kavari's interception was absolutely phenomenal. You don't see interceptions like that every day. We had, great defensive line play. Sheldon Day was playing out of his mind, his hair on fire. Our safeties were playing well, tackling well, and I got the Predator next to me, which is nice. And really, guys were just stepping up and doing what we needed to do to win the football game. And I remember walking up and down the sideline, and we were all talking, and there was just a look of conviction, in everyone's eye. And it was like, it doesn't matter what the score is, if it's 20-21, if it's 50-49, we're gonna win. We're gonna have one more point than these guys. We're not gonna accept anything else. And that was something that was special to be a part of, and. It was just a great game. It was such a great night.
Well, and it was one of those games where everybody does contribute, and special teams played such a big role in this game. Obviously, the punt block was huge. We were getting some good return yardage. We were flipping the field. Just a great day for special teams.
Yeah, another Southern California native coming up big against Southern Cal with Equanimeous St. Brown. Big punt block, and then the scoop and score. You know, it's funny. You know, we had seen him, running that play all week, in the punt return drills, and you always wonder, like, is this gonna work? And it actually ended up working even better than we thought it would. So hats off to those guys, and really, Jarrett Grace got no credit for it, but he took on like three guys in the middle there, and EQ was unblocked, so it was really special. And then the return game was great. Guys were making plays, and we contained one of the best return men in the country in Adoree Jackson. So it was a great special teams effort, and really I think they directly contributed to winning the football game. They were excellent.
Yeah, you mentioned Sheldon, somebody we got to get on the show before
before the
year ends. Now that he's a television celebrity, but I mean, he really has been playing at a different level this year.
Yeah, and I mean, he's healthy, he's strong, and it's ridiculous. Sheldon's natural traits. He's not the tallest guy, but he's 300 pounds, and he's so explosive and so fast. His first three steps are better than probably anyone's on the football team, and that's including the receivers like Will Fuller. So it's actually sad for me to watch because I realize how unathletic I am in relation to Sheldon. So
not true, but that's okay.
No. He really is an excellent player, and he's dedicated. He's become he leads that defensive line room, and he's one of the leaders in our defensive meeting room. And to see what he's done with that defensive line and how they're a cohesive unit. They work together before and after practice. They're doing drills. And that's the stuff that, maybe you see the production on Saturdays, but what you don't see is Sheldon, leading the whole defensive line, 10 minutes before practice doing hand drills. So he's been great. He's been absolutely fantastic this year.
Well, and as America got to see, you went through the Showtime series. You went home for break. Spent a little time on the beach. How was it?
I was going to say I should be thanking you, right, for scheduling the bye week and
yes, you should,
and our fall break at the same time. So thank you very much. But it was great to go home. Showtime came back and documented a little bit of it. I got to see some of my old buddies that I haven't seen in a long time. Saw my head football coach, saw my high school beat our rival high school. So it was really a jam-packed, three or four days there. But so good to get home. And it was, right in the middle of a heat wave in Southern California. So it was, 85 at the beach and sunny. And I'm sure that was something that you would like to be participating in. What did you do for your bye week?
Yeah, I worked, thanks. It's not a bye week for me.
You don't get the bye week?
I don't get the bye week. And it's got to be a little easier to go back home with the W.
Oh, my gosh. So I can't tell you how many times I saw, the Cardinal in gold, maybe emblazoned on someone's bumper or, on a flag on a house. Or, people just wearing USC gear all over. And it feels so good to just be able to smile and just, wave and wear all of my Notre Dame Under Armour clothing. And it's going to be so great. And for the rest of my life, this is going to be the memory I have of USC. We've talked about that during the game, that this was one game for the rest of our lives, and that's how we feel about it, and we're just so happy to have won the game.
Great outcome, but no rest.
No.
You jump from the frying pan to the fire, as they say, going into the home territory of a nationally ranked team having a phenomenal year, presenting a challenge that maybe when at the start of the season, when you looked at this game, you may not have anticipated it, but as Penn State found out, a really good football team. We're going to be playing in an electric atmosphere in the Link, mm-hmm. Halloween weekend. Tell us a little bit about Temple.
So, that's what you love college football, really, is teams like Temple. You don't know until you've watched the tape, but Temple's an excellent football team. They're extremely well coached. They've got a lot of talent on both sides of the ball. And really, really, we saw early on in the year, we watched Temple play the University of Massachusetts on the defensive side of the ball.
Right.
And we knew right from there that these guys can play. And so I've known for probably a lot longer than maybe some of the rest of the country has known that this is a heck of a football team. I'm really looking forward to going into Philly and playing them in a hostile environment with the Link. They sold it out. College game day. And this is one of the reasons you come to Notre Dame, to play in games like this. And, this is the second, game day experience of the year for us. And we're just looking to, go in there and play Notre Dame football and try to play a complete game and hopefully, compete well with a great opponent. So it's going to be a great weekend this weekend.
You made a really good point that I think sometimes we take a little bit for granted, and that is, part of what independence affords us in our approach to scheduling, but, another game moved to a primetime national broadcast, another game of the year where game day has come in to the city in which we're playing. You just get a lot of those opportunities here, and it makes for a great season in terms of interest and excitement. The flip side of that is it's a grind. We'll get back here at 4 a.m.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. So, I almost look forward to that, though. I like going on the road and playing in games like this and that feeling on Sunday. It's the fun part about playing this game and having that opportunity. But you do hit it on the right of the head. I don't really know of another program that has the opportunity to play. We play all of our games, obviously, on NBC at home and in the Shamrock Series. But then we have, we're always in the national spotlight, partly due because, Coach Kelly's got it, tuned up here. But at the same time, we get to play, absolutely fantastic opponents. So it's a blast to be a part of this university and to be a part of this football program. And we are all really looking forward to hopefully performing well on Saturday.
And it takes us to a lot of great venues, like another NFL venue.
Yeah. How many have we been to now? I've been here the whole time, almost that you've been here. We're going again. It's Cowboy Stadium and Lucas Oil and FedEx.
The Bears Stadium.
Yeah, we've been right. Soldier Field. It's unreal. So.
Yep. Well, we'll we'll get off football and in our next two segments talk to the leadership of one of the great basketball programs in the country, and we'll come back and do that in a minute.
Sounds good.
Irish fans, make sure you download the official WatchND mobile app, available on iOS and Android devices. The WatchND mobile app is the best way to experience great Fighting Irish digital media, video, and audio content right on your tablet or smartphone. You'll get full access to our entire video on demand library, live game and event broadcasts, live shows and press conferences, live game stats, and more. And best of all, it's free. Search for WatchND in the iTunes Store or Android Play to download the WatchND mobile app today.
Notre Dame football is on 89 WLS.
Our first guest on this week's show needs no introduction, but her amazing accomplishments during her first 28 years as the head women's basketball coach at Notre Dame should not go unmentioned. During her tenure at Notre Dame, Muffet McGraw has led the Irish to 13 trips to the NCAA Sweet 16 in the last 19 seasons. She has guided the Irish to 7 trips to the Final Four, including a current streak of 5 in a row, and 5 trips to the NCAA Championship game, including 4 of the last 5 years. The Irish won it all by beating Purdue and St. Louis in 2001. Coach McGraw is a 3-time consensus National Coach of the Year and is the only Division I coach to sweep the Big Four Coach of the Year awards 3 times. In 2011, McGraw became the first representative of Notre Dame to be inducted into the Women's Basketball Hall of Fame. Currently preparing her team for their exhibition game at noon on November 7th in Purcell Pavilion, Coach McGraw is taking some time out of her busy schedule to visit with Joe and Jack today.
Coach, thank you so much for being with us. I really appreciate it. We'll get to basketball in a minute, I promise, but you played in a pro-am with Annika Sorensen. How many strokes did you have to give her? what was the outcome? What was that experience like?
You know, I got to play with Stacey Lewis. I was with Annika Sorensen on a panel that we did, and it was a fabulous experience. I put my clubs in the bag quite a few times. We played her ball the entire day, of course, but so much fun. What a great day just to be with some professional women golfers who really don't get the attention they deserve.
Well, tell us a little bit about the conference, though, that was really the main reason you were there, and really a pretty spectacular event.
It was. KPMG put on a leadership summit for women, so it was all women CEOs from across the country. Condoleezza Rice was the keynote speaker, so a fabulous ending. I was with Annika Sorensen, Stacey Lewis on a panel, and we just got to talk about women in sports, women as leaders, and you know that's one of my passions.
Absolutely.
That's incredible. So what exactly did you kind of bring to the conference? Were you just kind of answering questions, or did you have your own speech that you had prepared?
You know, it was a Q&A mostly, so we got to just answer some questions from the moderator. But it was really well done. We got to talk a lot about women, young women, how we do things on the court, in the locker room, and getting them prepared for the boardroom.
And where exactly did you kind of form your own thought process on that? I know before Notre Dame, you were at Lehigh. Throughout your career here, what exactly have you, been doing research-wise? Has it just been kind of learning on the job? I don't know. I'm kind of curious about this with coaches. So.
It's a lot of on-the-job training. I think dealing with women for so many years, 28, 29 years here at Notre Dame and coaching all my life, I've really learned a lot of things. And I think one of the biggest things for me is that, you know, from the time girls are born, we're teaching them about how they're supposed to act as girls. These are the toys that the girls play with. This is how you're going to be. This is what you can be. I think we're so happy that they get along, and I think we need to be less happy about that, how they go along. We're always encouraging them to just go along. And for me, I want to teach them how to fight. I want to teach them that you got to fight for what you want. You got to fight to win a national championship. You got to fight for playing time. Everything you do, you got to fight for. And we don't teach our girls that. We don't teach them to have a swagger. And I want my team to have a swagger. So when we go out and when they go out and when they graduate and they go off and they're in the communities and they're in the business world or anywhere and they see something, they're willing to stand up and fight for it. They got to find their voice, and that's something that I can teach them, to build their confidence so that when they do go out, they can stand up, find their voice, use their voice, and fight for what they want.
Well, this is a team with that deservedly has a lot of swagger. It's had a lot of recent success. It's also got a target on its back. Your fellow coaches decided that the Irish were the preseason favorites in the conference. I attended Basketball 101 this week and learned that our transition plays have metal names, copper and lead. But it's a season full of expectations as you head into it. How do you sort of manage those expectations? You always have them with this program, but they seem especially acute this year.
You know, they're always high, and I think we like that. The bar is always high. The expectations are high. When you get to the Final Four 5 years in a row, people just expect it's going to happen. We've lost some great players over the years, but we've managed to come back because we have a great culture, and I think it's all about the culture that we have. The players that come in understand right away, this is how we do things at Notre Dame. We've got a great senior group, and you have to have that leadership. We are missing a few pieces this year. We've got some great great freshmen, all Americans, but it takes time. So we're going to have to be patient. At least I'm going to have to be patient. That's a challenge for me, as you know. But we do have some talent. Breonna Turner, Player of the Year in the preseason, just a sophomore. A lot on her shoulders, and we're hoping that our post game will really be able to carry us this year.
Well, it'll undoubtedly play an enormous role. But, boy, you got guards. You got a lot of guards, Coach.
We have a lot of guards. You know, you need guards. You can't get to the Final Four without great guard play. And Lindsay Allen is just superb. She is the best point guard in the country. She is just so steady. She doesn't turn the ball over. She makes things happen. She can score. She can do so many things. She runs the team. And she is a great leader for us. Michaela Mabry on the wing shooting threes with Madison Cable. So happy that Madison decided to come back for that fifth year. We've got that great experience on the wing. You've got to be able to guard us. Probably not going to see a lot of zone with those shooters. And then coming off the bench, we've got great guards again. Arike Ogunbowale, Marina Mabry, Ali Patberg. Just a ton of talent on this team.
I'm really happy you said Arike's name, so I could miss that part of the Q&A.
Steer clear of that one. But so you talk about all the talent we have, and you mentioned culture just a little bit there. But one of the things I think about when I think about our basketball program is consistency. And I think, you know, five consecutive Final Fours, but really over the last, like, 25 years, as long as you've been here, it's been that way. How did you build that from the ground up, and how do you maintain, you know, the tenacity and the drive to win? It's really hard. I see coaches all the time leaving and going different places because they can't keep that at one place, and you seem to have done it so excellently.
And I found my dream job to be here is such a blessing, and I feel like the luckiest person in the world. And, you know, Notre Dame recruits a certain type of player. I think we look for a certain type of player. We obviously want somebody that's really unselfish. We want somebody that's competitive and wants to win. I think the team chemistry for me is the most important thing. It's so much more important than talent. It's how you get along with each other, how they play together, the willingness to make that extra pass, to dive on the floor for loose balls. You got to be able to do the little things and to really commit yourself to the process. It's a journey. The season is a journey. You can't focus on the wins and losses so much as what you're doing every day at practice to prepare you for your end goal.
When you recruit nationally, how do you kind of find the right player to fit within that chemistry? It's almost, I know, it seems to be a very difficult task.
Recruiting is difficult, as you know, having gone through it yourself.
Right.
There's a lot to be considered, and certainly the academics that we have here really kind of narrows the field a little bit. You want to find good players, but you want to find good players that are going to really mesh with other players. So we really look a lot at how they play, how they react with their teammates, what kind of leader are they on the floor, how do they look when the coach is yelling at them. Are they looking at their parents in the stands? Are they looking for somebody else? Or are they the one out there that the team is looking to? I really want those kids that are the leader on the floor.
You know, it's players spend a lot of time getting ready for the season. This year, coaches have to spend a little bit extra time getting ready for the season because there have been a lot of rule changes. You, the leadership of the women's basketball coaches group, have helped usher in a number of changes. Help us understand those.
We have, and I thought you were talking about my shopping spree in anticipation of the season, so I'd be happy to talk about the rules. We are going to a whole new format, four quarters, similar to the NBA and WNBA, so we'll be on a professional level. We've got a new backcourt rule where if you knock the ball out of bounds, you actually still only get the 10 seconds. They used to reset the clock. We will have a really, really good thing at the end of the games. We're allowed to advance the ball. So in the last minute of the game, in a close game, when you rebound or inbound the ball, you can advance it right to your end. So if there's 3 seconds left, you got a really good shot at making a big play at the end of the game. I think it's going to bring a lot of excitement to the game for the fans. And there's no more one-on-one. Everything's a two-shot foul. Five fouls into the first quarter, you're in the two-shot bonus. Five fouls into the second quarter. There's going to be less timeouts, so we got to be ready to go. If a coach calls timeouts 2 minutes into the quarter, which we're hoping the other team only does that, you got to go 8 straight minutes without a timeout. So we've got to be in.
That's the one element of it I found most interesting. It's going to change timeout strategy, or needs to, in terms of when you call them and whether you can, the opponent can stem a tide when we get on a roll.
It is going to be interesting. You know, you have those times, there's a skirmish on the floor. It might be a jump ball, but if somebody wants to call a timeout, you're having trouble inbounding the ball, you know, you might want to take a timeout. And now I think I'll tell the team in the first quarter, we're going to have to turn it over a few times and save that timeout because we may need it at the end.
Wow. Wow. I mean, it sounds like the game is just going to get a lot more exciting and just a lot more fast-paced, which is going to be great. Why exactly the change to four quarters? Was it just to kind of go be synonymous with the WNBA and the NBA?
You know, we're trying to pick up the pace. I think that was the biggest thing for us. There's a lot of stoppages of play. There were so many timeouts, 16, 12, 8, and 4. There's a timeout. Plus, in addition to the 5 that each coach would have, it just stopped play too much. There wasn't quite enough scoring. So we want to make it more interesting for the fans. I think keep it up-tempo, which is what we've always liked. I think our fans will like it. The only problem with me at the timeouts are about 2.5 minutes, and I'm good with a 30-second. I can pretty much get it all in.
Coach, we've talked tenacity, fighting, culture. The other key ingredient that sort of year to year is so important in our success is leadership. What are some of the key leaders on this year's squad?
Well, we've got some great leaders. Mikayla Mabry, probably our most vocal player. She is somebody that just really understands the game well. She's got a high IQ. She is somebody willing to use her voice at practice. Hannah Huffman doing a really good job for us in a leadership role with a lot of the players. Madison Cable is a fifth-year senior. I think people look to her mental toughness. She's probably one of the toughest kids I know. She is so competitive, and I love that. And then, of course, Lindsay Allen, your point guard, has to be a leader on the floor.
Yeah. You also Taya got a lot of international experience this year, playing in international competition. How does that help benefit?
Yeah,
the
that
team?
Really helps you when you play in USA Basketball. Taya was in the Pan Am teams, went up to Canada and played against Natalie Achamla's team, so that was interesting to watch that. She got some great experience doing that. She was a leader on that team, and I think that's going to really help her. She's been out with an injury, and she's doing a great job of leading from the sideline right now, encouraging the team, working hard to get back, and we hope to have her back soon.
Speaking of teammates playing against each other. We had two alums in the WNBA finals. That was fun to see.
That was so fun to watch. Very hard to cheer. And they guarded each other at times in the game. And it was thrilling. And I mentioned that to both of them. And they said, and somebody always shouted, "Go Irish," whenever it happened. So great for Devereaux to have her second championship in the WNBA. And for Natalie as a rookie to get into the final was amazing. What a great season she had.
It seems like all of your, you know, a lot of your former players are just keeping on winning, and they go to the next level, and they just continue on with the trend of victory after victory. But
it's so fun to watch them. And this year we had two All-Stars, Kayla McBride and Skylar Diggins, both made the All-Star team. What phenomenal seasons. K-Mac just in her second year on the All-Star team. Jewel Lloyd, Rookie of the Year. I mean, we've had such great success lately.
Coach, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. I want to wish you the best of luck in the season. I intentionally didn't bring up the shopping spree because Kimberly would be talking to me about it right after the show. So best of luck, and thanks for joining us.
Thanks. I loved your costume.
Thank you
Excellent
very much.
Excellent Halloween costumes.
Thank you very much.
We'll be back in a minute.
A reminder from your TSA, please don't keep your extra change in your bra, especially if you're 90 and don't want to be tipped out of your wheelchair. More pro tips Monday with me, John Howell, 89 WLS.
Welcome back to the Jack Swarbrick Show. Notre Dame guard Hannah Huffman has played in 94 games during her first three seasons with the Fighting Irish and is coming off the best season of her years at Notre Dame, setting career highs in nearly every statistical category while playing in 37 games as a junior last season. Huffman is known for her tenacity, strength, and versatility on the court, attributes that have allowed her to play in the backcourt, on the wing, and in the post during her Notre Dame career. She is also tough to defend because she is a solid perimeter shooter who can also take opponents off the dribble. Off the court, Hannah is an outstanding student. She made the Big East All-Academic team as a freshman and has been named to the ACC Academic Honor Roll each of the last two seasons while majoring in finance in Notre Dame's top-ranked Mendoza College of Business. We are excited to welcome Hannah to the Joe and Jack Show today.
Hannah, thanks so much for joining us. You know, one of the things I learned during my 4 years out in California in school was that there's a Northern California, Southern California rivalry that's pretty intense, right? I mean, you know, I always thought if they put a proposition on the ballot to split the state, it would pass unanimously.
Oh, immediately.
So I just want you to weigh in on this. Northern California, the better, the superior half
of
the state.
Be very, very careful what you answer here.
You went to modern day, Joe. I can't even express to you how much better Northern California is than Southern California. Stealing all the water, doesn't have San Francisco, the Warriors, the Giants. It's pretty incredible place to live.
Their dependence literally depends on Northern California, doesn't it? I mean, you supply their water.
Yep. Hey,
you know, it's
team on our back.
It's hard. I understand because, you know, let's go back to 2010. I'm at a state final game, and I think I understand where some of this animosity is coming from. I'm not going to say who was in the state final game and who else's high school was there, but I kind of remember – what was that? What was the score?
Anyway, so, yeah, I have some brief memories of that game, but we can just move past that.
We'll move right on. But speaking of Northern California, you were back this summer having what sounded like a great summer experience.
Yeah, I was really fortunate to intern at Deloitte in their consulting division, so I had a really different summer than what I'm usually used to. My whole life I've been playing sports over summer, whether it's in basketball, swimming. So going from being in the gym all the time to having an 8-hour workday was quite a different change of pace. But it was a really incredible experience, and I got to learn a lot, and I'm actually fortunate enough to go start my job there next spring. So.
And I understand you had something in common with the leader of Deloitte.
Yeah, the entire CEO of Deloitte, Kathy Engelbert, actually played for Coach at Lehigh during Coach's first year. So she was visiting all the big projects, and I was on Deloitte's biggest project at the time. So she rolled in, and we had a meet and greet, and decided to be a pretty gutsy intern and introduce myself, figuring I had a pretty solid connection with her. So got to talk to her about basketball. She's a huge basketball junkie. So it was really interesting to talk to her, and she was super great talking to me. And she was actually on campus for the USC weekend, and got to talk to her again, and she came to practice. So it's a pretty cool experience to say that I got to meet the CEO of the whole firm, and something that was definitely a highlight of my summer.
Coach McGraw's imprints are everywhere.
Seriously. Thank you, Coach. Appreciate it. She was actually a walk-on, and Coach was talking about how she almost cut her, and I was like,
thank you, Coach, for not doing this.
You really pulled one out there for me. I didn't even know, but you did. Thank you.
Deloitte's biggest project. What exactly was that? What did you get to work on?
She may get shot if she tells.
I was going to say, is this not top secret, but
I was on the
confidential intern work. I know all about that.
Do you?
Yeah.
Okay. So I actually was on the Hewlett-Packard project. And if you don't know what's going on with HP right now, they're currently splitting into two Fortune 50 companies. So Deloitte was asked to come in and consult and make sure that they could stand up to two companies successfully by the first business day, which is actually November 1st. So
Wow. It's
coming up. It's going to be a huge day. I got to text some of my friends and ask how it's going, because they're doing it in a pretty aggressive timeline. Usually it takes 2 to 3 years for a company of that size to split, and they're doing it in just under a year. So it was a pretty intense project, and got to help out. It was interesting because basketball can be kind of stressful, and there's high-pressure situations, and seeing that in the workplace was a different experience, but it was really cool.
Well, one of the highest-pressure situations the team faced last year was needing a stop at the end of a game to get into the Final Four, and you provided that stop, and one of the great sort of emotional moments of the season. I mean, the reaction to the team and you to that stop was something else. Take us back to that moment.
Yeah, so I remember it was the end of the game and 13 seconds left. South Carolina calls a timeout and coming off, and I remember Markeisha Wright bumped me. She said, "Do you think you're going to go in?" I was like, "No, oh gosh, no." sweating, like so nervous. And Coach subbed me in. So it was a little nerve-wracking. And she's like, "All right, guard Tiffany Mitchell, who is a phenomenal player for them." So kind of went out there, and the goal was, under no circumstance does this girl get any one of a good look. So I was just trying to stay as close as I could to her the whole time. Got hit with a few screens, but my teammates did a great job of helping me out with that. Got a hand on the ball, almost went out of bounds, and she kind of heaved up a desperation three. And I remember turning around going, "Oh, my gosh, you got a shot off." I was like, "No, please, 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 please." So as soon as it missed, it was a lot of excitement, and then I got probably a little too excited, did some crazy chest hitting thing. It was just, you know.
Was that planned?
No, I like, don't remember it, and my team will never, ever let me live it down. It was a little bit aggressive, to say the least. But
it's become iconic, though. It really has. You've become part of the Notre Dame lore.
Yeah, and you know, maybe I'll appreciate that. For right now, though, I get a lot of get a lot of trash on my team for that because I looked a little crazy. But it was a great moment and a really exciting time.
So that propelled you to the final. Another final, you know, that you had a chance to go to over the summer was you got to go to the Warrior-Cavalier finals in Northern California. What was that like? And kind of like, you know, maybe talk a little bit about that and your own experiences in finals.
Yeah, so I actually got to go because of my internship. So they decided to take the client out, and we're like, all right, we know the intern likes basketball. Like, she can tag along. So I'm just rolling in there. So it was unbelievable. I've been a Warriors fan my whole life, and if you know anything about the Warriors, they had a couple pretty rough years. So seeing them be so successful was awesome, and that environment was incredible. That arena by itself is amazing, and let alone in the finals. And watching LeBron James, if you're a basketball fan, is pretty special, and Stephen Curry as well. So I was actually with two of my coworkers who knew nothing about basketball. So, like, I remember one time there was a rebound. They're like, is that still 2 points? And I was like, yes, it is still 2 points. So I was, like, going back and forth between, like, trying to explain it to them and then, like, chest bumping with the guys next to me who were fans. So it was a really awesome experience, though, and we came out the win. So it was awesome.
Yeah, it's great to see an Under Armour athlete leading his team to the NBA title. And I'm sure you and Steph sort of exchanged moves.
Of course.
You were giving him some pointers.
Yeah, he needed some advice. So I was like, all right, Steph,
you're like, when you're shooting
you
the corner three, obviously.
Yeah, I should do it more like this. That's kind of how it went.
Coach, when Coach was on the segment before you, we asked her about leadership, and your name, of course, came up. And this team has such a great culture of the leaders on the team sort of showing the way. It's a young team, a lot of young talent. How do you approach the role of leader?
I think now being a senior, you really have to be more on point with everything. I bet you can relate to that. Because I feel like when you're an underclassman, you can kind of get away with, oh, I wasn't paying attention for that drill, or, oh, I'm kind of lost right now. But as a senior, you really have to be on top of everything and lead by example. So they can see you, that you're working hard, see that you're doing the right things. But also, if they come up and ask you a question, you can't be like, oh, yeah, I don't know. I have no idea. So you have to kind of always be on top of your game a little bit. And I've really enjoyed that challenge.
Well, at least one of the hardest things for me, at least, was to understand, you know, take myself back and understand the freshmen and think about how they're seeing the game, how they're seeing school, how difficult it is maybe for a sophomore to pass those intro finance classes.
Yes.
You know, how have you kind of been able to lead, you know, those girls on your team?
Well, I think I teach a lot of them of you can rely on us. I think that as a freshman too, I kind of forgot, because sometimes you get frustrated. There's like certain things you're like, why are you not getting that? And I think you have to remind yourself, as a freshman, there are 1,000 things coming at you at one time. So I think my freshman year, I kind of try to internalize it and keep it in. And with them, I've really encouraged them, hey, tell me how it's going. Marina, how was your classes? Or Allie, I know you had a calculus test last week. How'd it go? Or I know our sophomores are going through a lot of the sophomore business classes now. So it's about really just getting them to talk and put some of their stresses on us, because that's how this team really is. We're a family, and I think we do a really good job of helping each other out like that.
How would you assess this year's team? What do you see as the strengths of it? What will our fans see when they watch the Notre Dame women this year?
I think we have a really exciting team. I think we have a team that understands the system but isn't afraid to take chances and to take risks, and I think that really makes for an exciting basketball team. We obviously have phenomenal post play with Brianna Turner. She's one of the most fun players to watch in the country, and there's such a steady leader in Lindsey Allen at the point guard. So I think you're going to see what you've seen for the past couple of years. We're going to get things together. We're going to run hard. We're going to run fast. We're going to play hard. And I think right now, though, since we're so young, we're kind of experiencing that learning curve. There's just a few things we're a little bit behind on, but that's kind of what this time of season is for. So things are really coming together nicely, and I expect great things.
You know, one of the things that surprised me when I first got here, but now I'm very accustomed to, is the intensity of your practices. Much more physical than the football practices, by the way.
I'm sure.
it's hard to compete. It really is.
But especially with the depth of this team, I would guess the intensity at practice must be sort of at an all-time high.
Absolutely. And I think that's one of the best things about practice, because I know I hear some teams practice for like 3 hours, something like that. We are in about 2 hours, and it is go time from the second we walk in. Drill to drill, it is go, go, go. And I think that provides a really good sense of urgency, which is what you need in games. You kind of need to have that high intensity, that high pace of play. So I definitely think it's going to be high this year. And I think that's something, one of the first things we teach the freshmen, that practice is go time. And I think that the freshmen have been doing a really good job of getting in there and, most importantly, competing. Especially we have some really great practice guys. So if you want to have any chance against them, you've got to be ready to hit somebody and go at it. So.
Now, I know you're not supposed to look past, you know, you got an exhibition game coming up, but if there's a couple games maybe this year that you're really looking forward to on the schedule, you know, maybe an ACC play, I don't know. I know for me, I always circle a couple games, notably the USC game.
Yeah.
You know, what exactly are you really looking forward to this season? Who are you looking forward to playing?
Well, I know there's a few things. First of all, we're going to the Bahamas. So some great teams in the Bahamas, but it's also the Bahamas. So that'll be really nice for a Thanksgiving break. Get some nice sun. So that's going to be a really awesome trip, and we're really lucky to be able to go do something like that. But I know the Ohio State game is going to be awesome, the ACC Big Ten Challenge game. Ohio State's an excellent team, and Coach McGraw's former assistant coach is there. So that's going to have a lot of fun atmosphere. Of course, as you circle USC, we always circle UConn, one of our biggest rivals. So I know that starting now in the back of our minds, we prepare for that game. Tennessee is always a great one. And then I just love all of ACC play. Florida State was a great rival for us last year. They're an excellent team, so it'll be fun to play them again. So a lot of really great games on the schedule. I'm excited to get started.
Well, bringing this segment of the show sort of full circle, while you're sunning in the Bahamas, Joe and I will be spending Thanksgiving for pretty cool in Northern California, I think.
Yeah.
So we'll say hi to the folks and have Thanksgiving dinner with them.
Oh, they'll be happy to cook for you.
Yes. Thanks so much for joining us, and good luck this season.
No, thank you so much.
We'll be back in a minute.
With most restaurant service parameters. Steve Dahl, weekday afternoons 2 till 6 on 89 WLS.
It's time to wrap up this special Halloween edition of the Joe Schmidt, Jack Swarbrick Show. And to do that, here are your hosts, Jack and Joe.
Thanks very much. You know, while some of our student athletes were lying on the beach during fall break.
You're pointing fingers.
No. Whoever we saw on television laying on the beach, I don't know who that was. Others were in competition in some fun locations, and that's part of the Notre Dame experience. So men's golf was over in Ireland competing. Baseball team was in the Dominican Republic. I know, having a great trip from having talked to the coaches. And, you know, It's the Notre Dame platform to sort of do things like that.
Yeah, it's an incredible opportunity that these teams have to go, you know, go abroad and to play, you know, still play, you know, the great game that they love, but also, you know, maybe expand Notre Dame's brand and to have a great time.
Yeah, and they certainly did. Happy Halloween to you. Happy Halloween to all our listeners and viewers, and we'll see you next week to talk about Temple.
Yeah, go Irish, beat the Owls.
Go Irish.
This has been the Jack Swarbrick Show, brought to you by Team Notre Dame Partners, Sprint, Coke Zero, Under Armour, Gatorade, and is also sponsored by Xfinity. Listen this time every week for everything Notre Dame Athletics, the Jack Swarbrick Show, on your home for Notre Dame football, 89 WLS.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.